Hi, Nishies.
Hello. Welcome to Two Niche.
I'm Laura.
I'm Elizabeth. And this is, I would say we're the number one audio trend hall show in the nation at this point.
I would say we are also trailblazers and the only trend hall show in the nation.
Trailblazers in the space.
Mm-hmm. Give it literally a few years, there will be no less than 30 trend hall shows.
Honestly,
that's just how it goes.
With yours and my track record combined,
that's how it is.
That's how it is, for sure.
Elizabeth, why don't you tell our little niche does what we're hauling today?
Okay, so numbers would say you may have found us via our Vanderpump singles haul, which, wow, what a time capsule. What a snapshot in time pre-scandal.
Yeah, and also what a selection of music that no one would ever listen to if they didn't watch that show.
Somebody said the order in which we played those Vanderpump singles then like summoned the from the depths of hell Scandoval. And I believe it.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
I'm also sad for anyone that listened to our Spotify playlist because your algorithm is now fucked.
Oops. So I don't think we're going to be able to capture magic in a bottle twice, but we wanted to bring you another Vanderpump haul in really the only way that Two Niche can. And we've had a few requests for LA city guides, but we thought, let's niche it a little. Let's explore Los Angeles through the eyes of Vanderpump Rules filming locations.
Okay, I'm really excited about this because in my mind, off the top of my head, F's across the board. There's no place on Vanderpump, except actually, I did have a moment last week where I was with our mutual friend Nitty and we went to like a flower workshop, like a bouquet workshop. And it was at the Platform in Culver City, an incredible mall area. And we were wandering around afterwards and I was like, we should go get dinner somewhere. There's this place, Bianca, that I had seen featured on Vanderpump Rules. And I was thinking in my head, like I had had one of my best friends had dinner around that area once and was telling me like, I went to this amazing restaurant, like it was so delicious. And it was like, it was Italian. And I knew like Bianca was Italian. And then there was this other restaurant, Etta, that was also Italian. And I thought to myself, Bianca can't be the good restaurant because that was on Vanderpump Rules. Let's go to this other place. And the other place turned out to be kind of mid. And then I was hanging with my friend this weekend. She was like, yeah, Bianca was the restaurant we went to. And I was like, fuck. So Vanderpump, that all of that is to say that being featured on Vanderpump Rules does not a bad location make,
contrary to popular belief,
but it's a really sad and bad brand alignment for I think any location and any human being, any person, period.
Yeah, I agree. But then on the flip side of that, it's sort of fun and camp to do a bit of a Vander crawl, as they're called.
Totally.
I think we need to begin with where it all started. Mm-hmm. And that would be the now defunct Villa Blanca.
Oh, shit.
So Villa Blanca was located in the heart of Beverly Hills, just a stone's throw away from the agencies. So you had the power lunch crowd. You had the potential for the power lunch crowd.
There was a lot of potential, though I don't believe anyone was actively power lunching there.
No.
But it was also right down the street from the now defunct Kyle by Aline 2, which opened up
next
later.
Next door.
Yeah. So it was a real
hot corner.
Housewives of Beverly Hills corner.
Wait, which, by the way, did you end up going to Sutton's party?
No, I didn't.
I'm so sad we had to miss that.
I know, but there I feel like there will be more.
There were like tents. It was a whole to do.
We're filming.
Yeah.
I know. There will be more opportunities.
I know.
I'm on the mailing list now for every event at Sutton's shop, which is, I need to go because I don't want to be taken off, but I think it's I'll go.
Yeah.
The timing will work out and we will descend upon that store.
Sutton's our friend. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Friend of the pod.
It's only correct. Okay. So Villa Blanca, food in true Vanderpump fashion, not good.
Terrible.
The decor was sort of more of like an airy
South of France,
but like with kind of like a meditation studio kind of air about it.
Yeah, South of France, Buddhist styrofoam pillars.
Exactly.
And pillows. Lots of pillows.
And I went there one time. I think it was pre Vanderpump Rules. It was not good. I was in the area. Scooting around Beverly Hills. And one time I went.
Pre-Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah.
So just based on Housewives of Beverly Hills knowledge or just like a...
No, I think it was just like location, location, location.
You were just like, what is this place? I've got to try it.
I think it was like a meeting or it was something in that realm. No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
Someone set the meeting there and I went once, never came back. It is no longer... around. Mm-hmm. So I think that speaks
volumes. I've been to Villa Rosa, Villa Blanca.
I always confuse them.
Yeah. So many villas. Okay. I've been to Villa Blanca probably like five times, like way too many times. I've been to every one of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant. The thing about me is I will go and go and go, even if it's horrible. And then I feel like the company I keep, they're always wanting to go, like, ironically. So, and obviously have been in the podcast business that I'm in, I get a lot of requests to go. So it's like a constant thing. It started out, as many things do, with some promise. But by the end, it was like everything on the menu, including the Vanderpump Rosé, was inedible.
If you guys think about like... a bag salad that comes with like a tiny bag of croutons in it, the tiny other bag of Parmesan in it. And then you think about taking the contents out of all those tiny bags and putting it on a plate. That is actually tastier than a salad you could get at a Vanderpump establishment.
I used to roll the dice in the biggest way possible and get like the crab and lobster salad. Which the first time I had, I was like, this is good. And then years later, there was no way I would ever order that.
I think, too, it's important to pause and just share some Vanderpump establishment facts around Lisa and Todd's nightlife business.
Ken Todd. Lisa, Ken Todd. Lisa and Todd. Though I like referring to him last name only.
I know. Todd.
Hey, Todd.
That feels right.
Get over here, Todd.
So they opened their first establishment, which was in 1982, which was a wine bar in London's Oxford Street. That is high property value. They went on to open 30 other restaurants, bars, and clubs throughout London over two decades, which catered to both the glitterati and which in... They owned a place called the Soho Club Shadow Lounge.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the Shadow Lounge.
And then they also owned, this was more for the tourism crowd, they owned a Cheers, which I'm sure you've seen, modeled after the 1980s sitcom in Piccadilly Circus. I've seen that spot before in London.
Holy shit. I didn't know that there was a Cheers pub.
Yep.
Wow.
And then... The most successful of their establishments were sold off in two batches, one for $16 million in 1998, and it helped finance their lifestyle. This all is as per the Hollywood Reporter in 2020.
That's a shitload of money in 1998.
Yeah. And then in 2005, when the oldest of one of their two children, I'm assuming it's Pondy, decided to attend college here in California. They decided to move to Beverly Hills. A few years later, Lisa got cast on a little-known show called Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And then they opened Sir on Robertson Boulevard. And the rest was herstory.
Wow. Sir opened before Villa Blanca?
Yep.
Damn.
Which okay. I thought it was the other way around, but...
I know. I thought Villa Blanca was the oldest.
Learning stuff.
Okay. So Villa Blanca, I guess for me, I would say C minus. And then in the latter days, a D plus.
Yeah. It also did have a for lease sign on the exterior of the property for 3 years, I want to say, which is never, I don't ever really want to call me a snob, but I'm not looking for a place that's like has 1 foot out the door to go eat.
No. And also I'm remembering now one time I went there and I wanted some Vanderpump Rosé because the rosé is actually pretty good. I mean, it's been ages since I've had any, but at the time it was delicious. And every single glass that I got was turned. It was tasted really weird. It tasted funky. It tasted like kombucha. Then she brought a new bottle. The waitress brought a new bottle out to be like, okay, I'm just going to open you like a whole new bottle. And the bottle had like an earwig in it.
Oh,
I was like, you can't make this shit up. But what is the business model behind Lisa's restaurants? Because I'm like, it seems like your brand standards for a restaurant is to serve the shittiest food you can possibly serve at a premium price and like let things just kind of like rot and then sell or give up the restaurant.
I have yet to crack the code. I don't know. It's truly wild to me.
Or maybe she just, after opening 30 restaurants, they were like, the tourism model is actually the best model because people will go. They don't care about the food. They don't care if the walls are falling off.
They're going the Piccadilly Circus route.
Yeah, they're just like want to say like, oh my God, I went to the Cheers bar. Oh my God, I went to Sir.
It's really a modern day Planet Hollywood model. Mm-hmm. And I respect it.
But also worse than Planet Hollywood, because at least at Planet Hollywood, you could see like
great chicken fingers,
great French fries. And then you see like Michael Jackson's coat or something
like that.
Right.
And like Sylvester Stallone might pop through.
Yeah. And like there's ephemera around. So it's like a museum.
Remember the Fashion Cafe?
Yeah. I'm sad that didn't work out because I was really hyped on that.
Me too.
But yeah, like Lisa should add maybe some ephemera to a restaurant.
We're going to continue down the pump world locations for a little bit.
There's so much to haul.
There's so much to haul. So Sir, which has rehabbed their aesthetic, I would say at least 3 times to my knowledge.
Yet it still is like the same.
Yeah. So it is located on Robertson and Melrose, a real hot corner. I would say for the bulk of the filming of Vanderpump Rules, it sort of went for like a shabby chic Chrome Hearts aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. And I've never had a good meal at Sir. It never has hit. Maybe if you got like the crispy chicken breast, like it's passable, but everything tastes microwaved. The drinks are really bad, especially when Jax was bartending. I have to give Sir an F.
Sir gets an F.
It's just like a mess.
But wait, I would say like the Zagat's rating F. But the fact that it's able to be that bad and yet have a consistent flow of business, be the home of one of the most important shows to ever exist, I think that needs to be factored into the grading.
It gets an F for like fantastic for that, but F for everything else it brings to the table. Also, it is very unique in that there is no other restaurant like Sir in Los Angeles, period.
Right.
Like that's just on its face, terrible, messy, sometimes smells like farts, has like old furniture that's very like unintentionally shabby, like holes in the chairs and just like in an utter state of disarray. It's not a sexy restaurant.
No.
But it is unique.
So they got it half right.
Yeah. Should we move on to Pump?
Yes.
Pump Lounge.
Pump Bun Lounge.
Which, by the way, Pump Lounge may not be long for this world.
So here's the deal with the rumor mill that is circulating around Pump and its closing. So essentially, the property owners, it's time for a lease renegotiation and they want a 10-year commitment.
Mm.
And if Lisa isn't prepared to do that, then they're not interested. But what I find interesting is they've 6 days ago, at the time of this recording, so the property managers posted the 8948 Santa Monica Boulevard in the heart of West Hollywood, in the heart of quote unquote Boys Town, an area that is a popular destination for locals with high foot traffic and an amazing demographic and a mix of single family and multifamily homes is up for grabs. And the photo montage that they have along with that copy is Pump Restaurant. And they say, come schedule a tour.
My question is, if someone else leases that space, do the olive trees stay or does Lisa extract them and take them with her to another location?
I hope she takes them with her. I hope they end up at Villa Rosa.
You would need to take those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a real question mark in terms of what's going to happen. I'm personally on the edge of my seat.
I think it's going to close. And here's why. I was at Pump Lounge, not last weekend, but the weekend before. There was a hole in the ceiling that was just covered by like a trash bag taped onto it. The cocktails were some of the worst cocktails I've ever had in my life. They tasted like gasoline and sugar water. And it's not a place where you could go and trust that you would have a good meal. It's also like a just totally stay away at this point.
Is James still doing See You Next Tuesday though?
I think See You Next Tuesday was a Sir event. James he's upgraded himself. They had a different DJ in like the bar area. The patio is still really nice. So if you stick to the patio underneath those
aesthetically, it's probably my favorite of the Pump properties, that patio.
The patio is great.
Yeah.
So for the patio, I'll give it a C minus, but menu F, drinks F, bathroom cleanliness F. It is across the board an F.
Yeah. And as highlighted earlier, prime location.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But seems cursed because all I can think about, before it was Pump, it was like a weird coffee shop thing that I never went into.
And then next door, you have Chapel by the Abbey. And then down the way, you have the Abbey.
Okay, let's play a fun game, which is like, what would you, if someone said, I'm going to fund, like, congratulations, you've won the Pump lottery, which means you now are taking over the lease, but okay, you have unlimited resources and you can make it anything you want. What would it be?
I'm trying to think of that area, taking like the foot traffic all and the Boys Town of it all into consideration. And nothing is really good over there. It really is good if you're on drugs or hammered. That's really, so I'm just trying to, like, there's a Salt and Straw ice creamery just across the street. There's a Pavilions. There's a Rocco's, which is Lance Bass's disgusting Italian restaurant.
Horrific.
Sorry, Lance.
There's Tom Tom, so you're already
Bottega Loogie.
Bottega Loogie.
There's Bottega Louie. This kin spritz is really going to my head.
Going right to your head.
Honestly, I would a 24-hour wellness spa. I want an infrared sweat.
That's really
smart.
I want
a cold
smart.
Plunge. I want to get away from the hustle and bustle, but I want it to feel like a bathhouse vibe. So like, Lord knows what's going to go on in there.
Yeah, I think you call it the bathhouse.
Well, there is a place called Bathhouse in New York that's amazing that okay. I would probably want to just put that in.
Yeah, you just partner with them.
Yeah.
You do a franchise.
Yeah.
That's really smart.
There's a cafe. There's services. I'd say services.
Coffee cafe that like, because around there, you do have a Starbucks in the pavilions or like mm-hmm. next to the pavilions.
Yep.
But you don't have like an artisanal coffee spot. So I think you put like a really delicious little coffee stand. You know what you could do is you could put like a coffee stand and like newsstand in one area.
Ooh.
And then you do the inside like bathhouse. Or just do offer. I think you go head to head with Bottega Louie because I'll bet they're like, try our coffees. And you're like, no, bitch, you get the best coffees here.
Right.
Then you can chill in the garden. You can also get like weird tonics and like health drinks and smoothies and salads. Everything's really light.
Maybe there's a consumption lounge for cannabis, you know, wrapped into it. Who knows about the licensing availables for that.
Yeah.
But
and then you do infrared.
A real, I think like an antithesis to the Abbey is what's needed.
A healing.
Yeah.
Hydration. I think maybe it's also a hydration lounge or you can get IVs.
Oh yeah. IVs for sure.
That's a really good idea. Should we take over Pump?
Maybe.
How much
could it be?
Who wants to partner with us? Let us know.
So yes, I concur with you, but I'm going to give it up a grade for just like the excitement one has when they're cruising down Santa Monica Boulevard and they just see those big letters Pump.
And the hype surrounding the opening, it was like exciting.
Yeah.
It was like the best of times.
Few things have matched it in the West Hollywood area. It is disgusting food, but it is a vibe. And there used to be, and we mentioned this on our hall episode, like they would all be there.
Yeah,
so
they would
you
all
used to be able to see the cast just lurking around, hanging out. So it was a moment in time.
Sir is where you'd go if you wanted to be like, it's like going to the zoo where you see the creatures in their natural habitat. And then Pump was where you could probably see like a celebrity, like J-Law was at Pump and like Lisa would be at Pump a lot.
She's still doing a victory lap.
Yeah. So
on a regular basis.
I can't change my grade, but I will honor the fact that I've had some really good times at both Pump and Sir.
And then down the street, as we all know, the fourth
and what I would say the crown jewel of the Vanderpump empire as it stands current day, Tom Tom,
in which the Toms have a 5% stake in,
which was actually incredibly smart of them to do that buy-in.
I guess they didn't really have much of a leg to stand on, but 5%, if you're using my name and I'm paying to be involved.
But here's where I got more clarity around that in this most recent season of Vanderpump Rules, where Lisa was explaining to Greg, the like business partner in their Schwartz and Sandy's venture. She basically said, put 50K in each, you each get 5%, and you like don't have to work there. Like you can show up. She catered to their strengths, which is like, as we've seen, it's shocking they're alive day to day and have managed to live this long. They have no business acumen, no common sense, but they did have money. And it was actually like a smart place to just put their money that they could take out at any time.
I think there is a certain level of savvy, but I think it's not coming from them. It's coming from Ken and Lisa.
Yeah, I think that was like, that was actually because I was on my high horse for so long being like, this is insane. Like, how is she allowed to do this? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's taking advantage. But now after I have like a little more financial literacy and understanding of just how moronic the two of those boys are, I'm like, she did them a solid, because if and when they go broke, they'll at least still have 50K or more years down the line that they can pull out and have as like a safety net.
I just feel like Bravo's investment in like Tweedledee and Tweedledum buddies, case in point, obviously the Toms, but then also like the Austin and the Craig of it all. It's
sad.
It upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
On a deep level.
It really sucks. The fact that like Craig has a business making pillows is deeply embarrassing.
But then I think like what man in their right mind would actually go on a Bravo show? And then it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I just think that like Bravo needs to do better. Like I blame them.
I guess the women who have really been like entrepreneur built brands on Bravo, you have Bethany, you have Stassi, who's like no longer, like it was definitely a stepping stone, but then she took whatever and ran with it. Who else?
Lisa,
but that was kind of happening pre-Bravo.
I don't think though that like her portfolio in America would have made any noise if it weren't for Pump.
True.
The VPR of it all.
True. And the fact that she's done like a bunch of spinoff like liquor, beverage brands.
Who else? Shannon Storm's Bedore.
Oh yeah, we cannot forget. What does she sell? Vitamins?
Tincture.
I like that. That's great.
I love when any housewife like finds a lane that like no one else has covered.
Mm-hmm.
Like Robin Dixon was like baseball caps, or what was another one I saw recently? I was like, no one's doing that yet. Oh, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
James's
Ollie.
Yeah.
The
astrology readings. I'm like, that's
genius. Yeah.
Like you just have to find your little niche,
mm-hmm,
and just lean all the way in, and it's a formula. If you can't make it a success, it's your problem.
True. TomTom, I'm going to give an A because Here's why. I've never had a bad time there. There's definitely like campy, bad elements about the restaurant, but it's when it's the beginning of Lisa's partnership with Nick Alain, who I do think is a genius in his own right. I've never seen a man work with so much crystal and metal before. I like that the gears of TomTom are always working. It is like this metaphorical reminder of the passage of time. And it's also such a dangerous place to be if there's a huge earthquake. And if you know what to order on the menu, the food is delicious. No one does buffalo cauliflower wings that aren't buffalo flavored at all, and yet more of like a sesame chicken flavoring. No one offers that in the city.
It's unique.
The cocktails are good and the service is good. I'd say if you're gonna try and have a night out, and the vibe is good, like people are excited to be there. When you go in these other restaurants, the vibe is very much everyone's like, why am I here? Like I'm here.
Yeah, people are upset.
People are really like, oh, I'm bummed out that I just spent $75 on a salad and like two drinks.
So I went to Tom Tom one time.
Okay, I've been there also like 10 times.
It was post Craig's. I had my friend visiting from out of town. So of course, the next stop on the tour was Tom Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that stands out to me is the height of the marble bar in the center. And knowing how seasoned Lisa and Ken are in the restaurant and bar industry and how tall and off base these bars are. I'm small. I'm short.
You cannot sit. I can't
see above the bar. I'm not even exaggerating. My friend who is tall, it's like also hard for him to see. Like it's just
if you're so standing, bizarre. You can't see over it.
No, it is. I just don't understand the thinking behind it. It seems like someone made a mistake and they just said
there were some architectural snafus. Oh, well. Yeah. And Lisa said, you know what? I'm like, is this a power move? Is this like you're trailblazing into just like She's like, really tall, inaccessible bars. What happened here?
It's something's amiss. And that was my biggest takeaway from Tom Tom.
You know what I don't like is that Lisa went from a fresh cut flowers all the time. Like that was a Villa Blanca staple. Was like right when you walked in, there'd be a massive bouquet of real flowers, fresh cut, smelling amazing, looking great. And now everything's fake flowers. And I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
But that's also like,
but also budget cuts. It's budget cuts. It's peasant era. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I think people are trash and they like take the flowers.
Yeah. It's definitely like they won't know the difference. Just put the fake flowers
these peasants.
In. Yeah.
Speaking of fake flowers, I made the pilgrimage over to Vanderpump Paris the other weekend.
Incredible. Another Nick Elaine venture.
Nothing says Vanderpump Elaine like this particular establishment. So
wait, what's your Tom Tom rating?
Oh, my Tom Tom rating is a C+.
Okay.
Okay, glad we got that out of the way. So Vanderpump à Paris, located in the Paris Hotel and Casino in lovely, illustrious Las Vegas, you walk in and you are greeted with signage, Vanderpump à Paris. You look inside and you go, what is this French castle that I'm about to step into? Look how romantic it looks.
Does it look very romantic?
It's giving romance.
Is it stone exterior?
But it's like,
does it have a moat?
It's faux stone. If they're like, it's a stone's throw away from a moat. Like, okay. It's almost there.
Is there a water feature at all?
No, but what they do have is the window feature, which are what looks like a window actually has screens behind it because it's Vegas and no actual windows exist. And there was like a nighttime windstorm happening.
Wow.
On the screens.
Moody.
It felt cinematic.
And
it
also makes you stay in there because you're like, yeah, ooh, the weather.
But then you walk through and you have a bit of like you're flying closer to the sun. And yes, it had like French castle vibes, but it also sort of felt like a CW remake of Beauty and the Beast in there. Like, it was like a school play.
Yeah.
Is the best way I could describe it. And then Nick Elaine like really shows his stripes in this establishment. I mean, it's like these fake rose globes that are like massive that are on a spin.
I feel like that's a Lisa thing. I feel like Lisa is like the floral right. Architect. And then Nick Elaine comes in.
With an Edison bulb,
with some metal works.
Yeah.
And like hanging, dangling crystals and like vials of liquid.
There's so many empty vials of liquid in this establishment. It was a true what?
He loves a vial.
Empty vials.
And in Tom Tom, it's full vials of colored liquid. So you'll see like a vial of like blue liquid in the lamp with like a couple crystals and like some dangling metal.
It is such a choice.
It's bewitching.
And good news for all of us, all of the lighting that is at Vanderpump à Paris is available online. Vanderpump Elaine is a website.
I'm so into this pairing. Like, they were meant to find each other and work together. And I do believe that Lisa's like next, I think she said she's opening up more restaurants in Vegas.
Yeah. Vegas is the perfect place because you're not relying on
quality anything.
But like, you don't need to build a clientele. It's people who are coming one time for the experience and not coming back,
mm-hmm.
and willing to pay the $25 a cocktail, which is
kooky.
That's
Vegas pricing.
So I ordered. Oh, so Oliver was our waiter. Slay. Important to. He looked like the only one working.
They also need to get a reality show going about all the Vegas workers,
yeah.
Because they're going to need to like synergize and market. Like, I need Vanderpump Vegas tomorrow airing on Bravo.
I see that more of like a Peacock venture.
I'll take anything that I can get. I just know that there's magic to be had in that world.
Yes.
Since Gigolos has there been like a groundbreaking Vegas reality show. And I really believe that the workers of Lisa Vanderpump's Vegas empire could serve.
What was the Bunny Ranch? Was that the...
Yeah.
Yeah. True. It's basically the new Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch was pre-Gigolos, I think.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Oliver was our waiter. Couldn't have been nicer. He also brought just randomly like a huge stack of Vanderpump Aperi napkins and a pen. And I was like, souvenir?
Maybe he's trying to get you to have him sign them.
Thank you. I don't know, but it was
you can take this away.
I guess I did, but I don't think that was intentional. But it was... The best part was the souvenir napkin.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered a...
Is there a gift store? A gift shop?
No, but there should be.
Yeah, what? They need
That's
merch,
a miss.
Candles, fake vials. Flower arrangement, vials. I would actually, like, if I had a house with, like, a lot of outdoor space, I would maybe buy some Nicolaine lighting to put in, like, a
just
little outdoor...
LOLs.
Just for a lol, like a Nicolaine corner, somehow like work it in. It would be funny.
These Edison bulbs, it's just missing like a drapery of some a rhinestone chandelier vibe, and then you'd off to the races.
I'll never look at these the same way again. And the next time you come over, there will be a whole new lamp there. How dare you? We got to move on.
Okay, but really quickly, I do need to say I clocked like the most popular drink there.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, I'm haunted by this.
It was a hot pink cocktail with a French macaron plopped inside of it. And I watched in horror as somebody probably 35 minutes after they were served the drink took...
I'm truly going to barf.
The alcohol-soaked macaroon that had, I'm sure, had like gold dust on it as well, and put it in their mouth.
A soggy,
yeah,
macaroon.
It was disgusting.
A waterlogged macaroon,
and then the gin martini, slightly dirty, extra icy, not that hard, that I ordered was unfinishable.
They feature an unfinishable cocktail. That was the pump teenies that my friends ordered at Pump. I took one sip because they were so excited about them, and then they got them and everyone's faces were like crestfallen, and they were like, these drinks are the worst drinks I've ever had. And I took a sip of one and almost vomited back into the glass, and then most of the drinks went undrank, and then slowly over time the pump teenies congealed, and there was like congealed like stuff in these martini glasses.
How is this happening?
I don't know. She gets away with murder. It's really not that hard.
I feel like it's harder to have all of the components of a restaurant, staff, decor, location, all of those things, and then have everything be that bad feels like it's more effort than having it be just baseline good.
It's really concerning. But I do have to say, again, Tom, we went and I was like, you guys should order the big pinky, or like the clockwork pink. And that's like a mezcal based cocktail. And thank God I still had some trust and goodwill amongst my friend group. The people that ordered that, they loved it. They were a huge hit. The cocktails there are good.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I went with friends who don't know what a Vanderpump is. They don't watch the show. They have no clue.
That's dicey.
And they were like, what are we doing here?
Are you still speaking? Do they text you back?
Touch and go for a second, but we're back on track now.
It's a great way to break trust with people.
We also went at like 11:30 at night. Like it was like a...
Was it packed?
It was, I would say, like 70%.
Okay.
And I think after 11, they don't serve food. So you can, I would say, if you need to go check it out, make a reservation after 11, just drinks, and catch the vibe, catch the red piano. Mm-hmm. Real school.
Did you see
those
dog statues with the necklaces?
I missed that.
Okay.
And do a lap and leave.
Have you been to the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden?
I have not.
Okay. I'm very curious about the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get like a 24-hour trip to Vegas this summer. And
boots on the ground.
Yeah. Great. Kelly Clarkson is performing for like a month, I think. So I might try and catch one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
what's the Vanderpump Perry rating?
Ooh, C minus. No.
It's okay to go low. It's okay to get D or an F.
I'm going to give it a D.
Okay. I respect that.
Thank you for supporting me. You know, I always like to err on the positive side, but it was not.
I'm going to mirror the D because I've never been, but I just know that I know the vibe and that it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah. Also, it's Vegas.
I wish they would just open Tom Tom Vegas because whatever they're doing there is like, it's a good thing to try and replicate.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been to Schwartz and Sandy's, the newest of the bunch.
I've been.
But I know you have, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts, feelings?
Schwartz and Sandy's decor does not speak to me personally. It's very world market. It's very Florida, but bad Florida, not like a South Beach, Art Deco.
It's like
Palm Beach. It's like
Interstate by Boca.
Yeah, it's Boca. It's a little bit like retirement home. I don't think that for a restaurant that you should be trying to replicate an artist like James Turrell. Like you either, I think in a building, it's one thing if you're just trying to get the vibe for your house, because obviously not all of us can afford a James Turrell in our home. So I get like putting like an LED light in the home and getting that vibe. But for a restaurant, I'm like, you either have the Terrell or you don't have the Terrell. Like there's no agree. Like midline. There's just too much. There's a lot going on. And the food is so bad. I can't even like, I've never had one delicious thing there. The fries are fine, but I think that if your fries are bad, you need to like jump off a cliff because that's the easiest thing to make.
Let's cut to 4 months from now. VPR this season is off air. They're probably, God willing, filming season 11 on the tail end because I really want them to get the cameras in.
Yeah, just
yesterday.
Keep them rolling.
When the show's off the air and all of this has died down a bit, what do you think? Where do you think the dust is going to fall with a Schwartz and Sandy's?
It's hard to say. Like the cocktails were actually pretty good. Like I liked the cocktail that I had and I tried my friend's cocktail. It was good. Their wine list sucks ass. Like I wouldn't go that route, but I would say you're probably going there for like a mixed drink or having like a bar scene. I think the location is interesting because you're offering something different than a La Poubelle. You're gonna maybe capitalize on like the UCB crowd. I don't know how many people it attracts that just like have no idea what it is. I guess like I could see like if you're totally new descending on that area and you're just going by like street appeal, you'd be like, let's check this out because it has that neon sign. So it seems like could be a vibe in here. Like I could, and I think that it could attract people on that level just by way of like its location. As you were talking, I was like, what a short-sighted, dumb move this whole Scandoval thing is on both the Tom's parts, because I do think it's going to come out that Tom Schwartz knew about Sandoval and Raquel the whole time, covered for him. And like, initially, while I like disagreed, like I am not down with people like going there and giving it like shitty Yelp reviews or like trying to like fuck with their business just out of spite because they're mad that they're mad about Scandoval. But I'm kind of like, if your food isn't good and you're not actually giving good restaurant, it was really dumb of you to do that.
And what's interesting is, so Greg, the owner of Schwartz and Sandy's, mm-hmm. which he's kind of one of my MVPs this whole season.
I'm keeping an eye on Greg at all times.
And I'm into it. Like, I'm just a fan. Mm-hmm. So he owns another popular Vanderpump filming spot over the years, Belmont, that's on La Cienega.
Oh, wow.
Which is that like is a tried and true staple. But like actually Vanderpump staple, but also just a fun spot to go to. And way back in the day, they used to have like a stone crab bucket, or not stone crab, crab leg bucket.
Okay.
For like $20 or something. It was like a Wednesday night special.
I'm scared of that.
It was so good.
Okay.
It was so good. It was like a great, like the food at that restaurant was good. The drinks were good. So the point I'm trying to make is that this man knows what he's doing in terms of like creating an establishment with like a desirable menu and that's like good drinks that is fun to hang out at.
Yeah, I'm just really unclear on the food. Like it's so off base and coming out of left field. It's like weirdly kind of like Cajun themed, and it doesn't need to be. Like it really just needs to be like, take the menu at Chili's and do your version of Chili's.
The thing is that neighborhood, there's a huge residential mileage that's like right behind where the bar is. Mm-hmm. And people are just going to be there no matter what. So I don't understand why they're like swinging so big with trying to do like a unique food offering. It's like literally you can do the bare minimum.
I really think that that's like all Sandoval. Like I blame him. I have to give Schwartz and Sandy's a D-. And if they, I'm sure I'll end up going back there mostly against my will.
Can I go with you one
time?
Yeah,
we'll go.
Okay. Because I still haven't been, which I think says a lot.
If they can improve the food, I mean, I'm terrified to go now because I'm in a Q2 of no drinking. So I'm truly like they have nothing to offer me there, but I will go.
Good for you.
If they were to improve their food, I would give them a C-.
Okay. Just going off of like an energetic check.
Mm-hmm. Though people do seem happy to be there. They're not giving like a what the fuck. The general vibe is like excitement.
I will give it a C+ because I think that if they turn around the menu, it has potential for that. But just like entertainment value, like the fact that it's decorated the way that it is and the fact that Greg has been like a true facepalm in terms of working with the Toms and like very interested to see what this fallout from everything, like where all that's going to land. My intrigue is peaked. So it's like a C+.
Here's what I'm also going to say. I'm just going to give like free consultation right now is that Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval and Raquel honestly need to put in some serious FaceTime at Schwartz and Sandy's. They need to make it like, I mean, when I went there, Tom Schwartz was there, which was great. And then like,
that's important.
Israel, the host who's been kind of featured as like background, but I think might come into the mix more. He was there and like really pleasant. Brett was there. So like you're seeing some of the people, but you need to be like, this is where the Toms and Raquel are hanging. And that will get people in the door just out of curiosity.
I want Tom and Raquel
to be together.
It's the only way that happening. This is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Is like, I want them to be engaged. I want the full thing.
You want their love story to unfold. I like yes. can see that.
So can I. I think that's the only way that it will be interesting.
Okay. I heard a really interesting theory that I don't know if it's true or not, but someone was telling me that Sandoval and Ariana had a threesome with Raquel.
I read that.
And that's how the Scandoval kind of took root and then flowered from that threesome.
I mean, I would love that to be the case. I don't know if we're ever going to get a confirmation on that. Maybe.
It's maybe not, in the reunion.
Maybe.
I mean, it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility just knowing that Ariana is bisexual and that she had hooked up with Lala in the past in front of Tom. So like, I could see that being on the table. Is it the thing that started it? TBD, but I could see that being like a thing that happened potentially.
I mean, I would love that to be the case. That sounds like a great tale, mm-hmm. but I just don't know if it's like, if it's that.
Yeah. Time will tell. Okay. What's next?
Well, let's talk about something about her sandwiches really quickly, because Boots on the Ground on Robertson, which is where the location for Something About Her sandwiches is allegedly set to be.
Where on Robertson?
Okay, so
north or south of Melrose?
North.
Okay.
And it's, if you're familiar with, do you know where like the like Christian Louboutin store is and all that? So kind of like that area, that part down from Star.
Okay.
I forget the name. There used to be like a cute little cafe there.
Interesting. It's on the Sur side of the street.
Yeah, but okay. The Vanderpump Reddit space will tell you that the sign for Something About Her sandwiches is no longer there. And so something is amiss.
Something is not about her.
Here's what I like. I think it is very much behooves the girls to be Sur adjacent to their establishment. I think, and I mentioned this on our Vanderpump Singles Hall episode, I found it fishy that the Toms were venturing away from the West Hollywood
area.
I think that you want to be walking distance. You want to be part of the Vander Hall.
Yeah, but then also I'm like, I mean, Vander I guess crawl. People don't care about the brand alignment.
Right.
Because if I even thought that my business had the scent of Sur on it, I would be very upset. And like, and that makes me as a consumer, like, I'm like, I judge that because I'm like, are they getting the same food delivery service as Sur? Like, I don't trust that at all.
That's fair. I also think that maybe, and I saw somebody make this read and I concurred that maybe they realize they can just do merch and they don't need to get into the nitty gritty of a food service.
That's kind of, I mean, is that not a bit of a scam though? I mean, everything's a scam.
Establishment that we have mentioned thus far
is scamming us. But there's something a little bit like, I'm like, about her. If you're hyping up the sandwich shop, you release merch, which I'm sure they made like tons of money on.
Tons.
And then you're like, oh, JK, like we're not going to do this shop anymore. That's the American way. But I just think that that's like a little bit Caroline Calloway vibes.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe they just moved the location or maybe they're getting a new sign.
Maybe they're getting exactly.
What was the sign
it
before?
It was like a flyer. A foam board.
Oh,
cut
yeah,
out
yeah.
That said something about her and it was like propped in the window.
Ugh. I want the branding of Something About Her to be a little bit more iconic.
Right. No, it's giving like Woody Allen credits at the end of a movie font. Yeah. Which
it's not making me think
good bread, which is really what I need in a sandwich shop.
I need really good bread. They need to hire like they need to like have a bakery in there.
Yeah.
And they also need to like hire like a actual pasticcerie chef. Like they need like a
need to go
pastry chef extraordinaire to be baking like insane bread, have it like wafting out Subway style to like call people in to their like gorgeous Meryl Streep.
The thing is,
Nancy Meyers
is that corner, that block could really use a yummy sandwich shop.
Okay, well.
So I have high hopes.
I'm going to give it a C for we'll see.
I like that. I'm going to
give it. Could go up, could go down.
I'm going to give it a B because I want it to be something.
Okay. I love that.
Should we maybe take a little dance into some other iconic locations?
Yeah, we can go like do quick hauls of various locations.
Yeah. Okay, so one of them was Cantor's, an iconic Los Angeles spot in which the iconic conversation and meetup of Kristen and Miami Girl took place.
Kristen ordered a bottle of white and got down to business with Miami Girl in Cantor's, and they put their heads together and figured out how to sabotage Tom and Ariana's relationship.
Update, Miami Girl, as of this week, has been confirmed.
Oh, that it did happen? But we all kind of knew that.
I didn't.
Really?
I was like, Kristen's a snake.
Oh my God.
These girls are lying.
No.
There's no way. My Sandoval bubble has been popped. I always thought he was an idiot. Like always. Like it infuriated me every time I would see the Toms like on Watch What Happens Live together. Just be like, they're so dumb. So I had that fire in me, but I always like gave Sandoval the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, because you're like, if Ariana likes him this much, then he must be like kind of cool. And to be fair, every time I met Sandoval, he was a delight. So
also, I told you this, but 2 weeks before the scandal broke out, I had a Tom and Ariana sighting.
And they looked happy.
They looked happy and cute together. But now that I replay it in my head, we were going to a friend's cover band show.
Mm-hmm.
Tom wasn't playing. He was just there.
Okay.
And we're waiting in line. And Joey kind of like nudges me. He's like, isn't that one of your Toms over there?
Wow.
And I was like, no. And then I recognized the white nail polish and he was chaining a cig.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in like, he looked stressed. Now that I replayed in my head, this man was very stressed for a Saturday night.
Okay.
And he was on his phone. And then him and Ariana were just to the left of us during this concert. And I remember thinking they're so cute together.
Were they being affectionate?
No, but they were like enjoying the concert as like a unit.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
To bring it back to Miami Girl, I was always under the impression that Miami Girl did in fact take place, but that Tom and Ariana had like below like unspoken agreement that they were just never going to confirm or deny and like not speak on anything about their relationship like on the show. So it was going to be like, we're a united front in this. Like it definitely happened, but we're not going to let that play out and like have that take front and center. So if we just refuse to even address it and like just ignore it and move on with our lives, then it won't be a thing.
That tracks.
And I think that's kind of the...
They presented that way on the show, I think.
They've been trying to do that, which makes it even more fascinating now because we're going to get to peel back the curtain and get, hopefully, I pray, a sense of like what the real relationship dynamic is between them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just liked that they did this at Cantor's. First of all, they were there during the day. Cantor's is famously open 24 hours. There's not that many food places open late, let alone 24 hours in the West Hollywood area. So it's really a fun place to go. A lot of times you'll see like stand-up comics there after their sets. Like it's a vibe. The food sort of all has the same flavor, like doesn't matter what you order. So it's not really...
It's not great food. And certainly out of like the Jewish deli selection in Los Angeles, it's like low.
Lowest.
But if you're like not feeling so good, you want like a matzo ball soup and like some French fries, it's like good.
I would say to order Greenblatt's, which might have closed, or Factor's on Pico if you really want a good Jewish deli.
Factor's is really good.
That's my favorite one.
But I like the one on Beverly too. That's the one that Larry King would always go
Nate
to.
Nals.
Nate Nals. Yeah.
Iconic. Mm-hmm. Iconic. So as a deli aficionado, I would say Cantor's isn't really the place to go. But if for a 24-hour fun, like after the bar place, it's an A.
Yeah.
But for the daytime wine, meet up with a stranger from Miami.
It's a F.
It's a real choice.
It's not. But it also is like perfectly on brand for their level of sensibility.
So I feel like a lot of people are in the depths of a rewatch right now. I think this scandal really took it to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. I started my VPR rewatch in preparation for our singles haul. So I was deep in the depths of it when all of this happened. And then I'm really liking Kristen in my watch right
she's
now.
She's incredible.
She's evolved. She shows sort of like progress. And we don't really see that with many of these characters.
She both does and doesn't. Like, her demons are so front and center that you can't help but either be like absolutely repelled by her or find her incredibly endearing and a warrior. And I'm part of endearing warrior.
I've always gone back and forth. The pendulum hath been swinging, mm-hmm. but now I'm like, you know what? She did the work.
She did the work. And I personally related to like her self-destructive tendencies, like reminded me a lot of like eras of my own life. And I saw a lot of myself in her in certain ways. And so I've always just been, and I think that she's really funny on the show. Like, I don't like that she has to like make horrible choices in order mm-hmm. to be like the person that she is. But part of the charm is that she's making these bad decisions and like getting with the wrong guys. But she also is like a ride or die hard friend.
Yeah.
Except if she was fucking your man. She contains multitudes and I miss her.
There's layers.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take it into the present.
Okay.
I know this has gotten a lot of chatter on Sup. Mm-hmm. Hotel Ziggy is really having a moment.
Hotel Ziggy is where everyone who's about C-list level is gathering for events, for nights out. I cannot in good faith put myself in a place of Hotel Ziggy, which was, I guess, formerly the Grafton on Sunset. It's one of those places that I feel like would always pop up on Hotel Tonight if you're like looking for a hotel in LA. I'm sure that it's like fine, but I just like can't get down with like the color scheme.
No, if there's a graffiti intentional Mm-mm. as a design point, that's, I'd do Nick Lane all day over that.
Oh, for sure. And I'm also really darked out by window unit air conditioners in a hotel setting. I'm just like, I don't want that.
Haven't been, don't want to go.
Unless I'm like traveling and trying to just stay somewhere that I know is going to be kind of cheap. Like,
but like, I did see like Tori Spelling was just there.
I know.
I'd go for Tori Spelling.
She scares me. So again, I'm out. Hotel Ziggy is a true F for me. As in, I want to stay far away.
I'm giving it a TBD.
Okay, I love that.
Okay, so a big one for me personally is The Den, which is a meditation studio that was on La Brea. They also have a Studio City location. The Den is where Jax met his Reiki healer, Kelsey. And as you know, this storyline has a special place in my heart. Because it happened because of me, and this will forever be.
You're forever in debt to Kelsey. Like, you will for lifetimes have to make up for the karmic wheel of life that you started. Who was I recently talking to, or like around people that were like bringing up the Reiki, Jax and Kelsey's relationship and being like, yeah, that was really weird. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, clearly this is not a real.
It was a classic case of a bad edit.
It really was. Cause I investigated post Kelsey. Cause like she was on my radar, obviously from the show, but then as a Goop devotee, I saw that they were having like a Goop Lab event with Kelsey. And yeah. I was like, holy shit. Like, I've got to check this out.
Okay. So here's how it all went down.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my very, very close friends is a reality TV producer, and she did a season of VPR, which was the Jack's repentance season.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for a healer. I had hosted a Reiki meditation event at Bloomingdale's, as one does, and Kelsey was the main speaker. Kelsey's also one of my closest friends. So my friend who was the producer was at the Bloomingdale's event and was so impressed with Kelsey's work. She hit me up and said, can you connect me with Kelsey? We're looking for a healer for this season of VPR. For like, in my head, I'm thinking it's a one-off scene, as usually all of these things are.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly a one and done. You then have that on your resume. It can be a little boost, whatever. So Kelsey doesn't watch the show, of course, because why would she?
Yeah, because she's a healer.
Exactly.
And nothing makes you sicker than watching Vanderpump Rules.
Of course. And I said to her, of course you should do it. It'll be fun. Like, have fun.
Famous last words.
So then she does the one scene, and I think the producers sort of had a light bulb, and they're like, oh, this could actually be a thing if we lean into it for Jackson, his healing journey, trying to like get right and like realign himself.
Well, it's also their dynamic on the show is incredible, because you have a person that really is dedicated to healing and a broken person who will never be healed. And so that in itself creates the kind of tension that as a viewer, you're like, I'm dying over this. And also it's like, even almost better that she doesn't watch, because she's earnestly trying to help.
She doesn't know who Jax is. She doesn't know who Jason is. She doesn't know any of all of this. So she keeps, you know, sort of telling me like, oh, I'm filming again with them. This, you know, it was sort of like this ongoing thing. Like she was, I think, in Japan and like FaceTiming in with him for mm-hmm. scenes. I mean, it was a whole thing.
They had an arc.
Yeah. I can't think of another time on this show or any Bravo Sphere programs where a healer or like one of these like one-off little scenes becomes a full storyline like this. It just doesn't happen. So to my surprise, this comes out and there is conversations about it. Like Jennifer Lawrence is on Watch What Happens Live giving her two cents about it. It was, when I tell you that I felt terrible. Like it is a stain on my soul. Poor Kelsey was in some like hosting a retreat somewhere in like South America or something like this, and all this, and hasn't been on her phone in like 2 weeks, and looks at her social media and it was like just truly horrific. And obviously, it's like upsetting at the time when you feel like all of the internet is mislabeling you. I mean, she's married and, you know, she like it just was not an accurate description. It was a real inaccurate edit.
Well, what was interesting, and this is part of like the synchronicity of life and just like the wild journeys that we're all on, is I was very moved by this season 6 of Vanderpump Rules, and also moved by Kelsey and highly invested in this like Reiki lady. And so then, as I said, I got this like Goop Labs email, and it was like hosted by a Reiki session morning meditation that she was hosting. And I was like, holy fucking shit, this is worlds colliding, my like two favorite things. I have to go check this out and like see what the vibe is for myself and see what this lady's all about. So I went and it was incredible. I was like, this woman's on like another level. It was like delightful. She seemed very genuine and authentic. And like in the back of my head, I'm like, how on earth did this woman get like roped into this show? Smash cut to like 7 years later, you and I meet, and then all of these mysteries of life questions are answered. And so that's
here we are.
You know what, just stay curious, folks.
That is the takeaway. So I'm sorry Kelsey, I love you. And of all the things she does, she's like written books. She, you know, is really out there as a healer and really talented. She still gets recognized as Jax's Reiki healer to this day. And that is all traced back to yours truly.
I love it.
Yeah. So the den.
The den is cool. I would go. Is it still on La Brea?
So the La Brea one closed. The Studio City one is still active.
Okay. I give the den an A minus.
I give the den an A.
I always liked the sound baths that I went to there. I had like, I saw Deepak Chopra's daughter speak there and bought her book. And I liked all the things.
Yeah, it's great. Also founded by another friend of mine who's a major pump head.
I love that.
Tall.
I would say the only reason I'm not giving it an A is because the cast of Vanderpump has been in its halls, yeah, and that just brings
it's a stain.
It brings it down.
Okay, what about Skybar at the Mondrian?
I've only been there one time. It was for a celebration of Tom and Ariana's cocktail book.
Oh.
And it was fun. But it was also a scene that I'm just so not part of. But I was like, okay, I get this. Like, it's like a very, it's like Hollywood.
Yeah. I unfortunately have been there more times than I can count.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very classic location for a fashion party in LA.
It's a good spot for a party.
It's a great space. As you'll see on the show, there's sort of like this tented outdoor spot that's like leveled up from the pool level, which is where they're always hanging out, where the classic summer bodies line came from. I was surprised to see that it was still kicking, to be honest with you, when we saw it in this past season. I noticed that they added a neon sign, which locations in Los Angeles and probably all over the country for that matter, if they're catering to millennials, you're getting a neon sign.
The chokehold of the neon sign.
It is.
We've got to end it.
What is the new neon sign?
Only you can stop the neon sign trend.
What is it? Like a moss wall? Like where are we going from here?
It's the idea of an Instagrammable corner,
yeah,
or like a moment.
It's a mess.
Just not breaking your phone, like keeping your phone at home, going analog.
I like that. That's the answer. It's like
deleting Instagram from your phone, deleting TikTok.
But I swear, if a restaurant in Los Angeles is trying to level up, they're not touching the menu, they're not touching the bev options, they're adding a neon sign.
I've had to stop myself from getting a neon sign and putting it in my apartment. I've battled the urge multiple times.
But then it's like, then you're like Kyle's foyer.
I know. And you can't go down that road.
You cannot go down that road.
Mm-mm.
So Mondrian, the fact that it's still around, the fact that it has a deep history rooted within VPR and my own life, I'm going to give it a B+.
Yeah, I'm going to give it also a B+ because it's here to stay, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just watched this episode myself, the Jax and Brittany engagement party that was at the Inn at the Seventh Ray, which is located in Topanga Canyon, which is past Malibu.
It's out there.
It's out there. Beautiful, rustic, woodsy vibe.
Yeah.
However, when they show the scene of the party bus going from West Hollywood to the Inn at the Seventh Ray, I had car sickness by proxy. I mean, that is easily a 2-hour drive.
Yeah, depending on what time you set out and on what day, you're looking at a long
haul.
It's
not fun.
Inn of the Seventh Ray, I've had Easter brunch there. I really enjoyed it. I would give it a B.
I went there as well for a brunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was cute. It was woodsy. Give it a B.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to bring up the bar where Jax proposed to Brittany.
Oh, the I think Neptune's we should call
Neptune's Net.
On Pacific Coast Highway. That's a great spot.
I am going to have to respectfully disagree.
Oh, okay, tell me more.
I'm a Malibu seafood girl. Like, that is, to me, if you're going to go for, like, a clam chowder or, like, shrimp cocktail, fried clams, french fries by the ocean spot, I'm like, you'll have to wait in line, but the line moves fast and it's like a good vibe and the food is good. Neptune's Net, I went there. Granted, it was like during COVID. I think they have porta potties year round though. And I was with my mom came to visit. This actually might have been like 2021, like when I did a show in LA, like late 2021. So it was like post-COVID and we went up for Malibu Day, took Tony to the beach, and then we're looking for like a dog-friendly spot and we sauntered into Neptune's Net. I was like, I'm going to give this place a chance because like I clowned hard when Jax and Brittany got engaged here, but like I want to keep an open mind. And it was really bad. It was no Malibu seafood.
I don't think I've been to Malibu seafood.
Like Neptune's Net's on the farthest edge of North Malibu, like kind of right mm-hmm. before you get into Oxnard. And then Malibu seafood is like kind of like three quarters of the way through Malibu before you're getting to like Point Doom area. Okay,
maybe I have been to Malibu seafood and it wasn't Neptune's Net. I don't know. They're kind. Are they similar?
They're similar. I think like it's like an order. Line, you order wait in line. Counter. You order at the counter. You go get a seat. But yeah, Neptune's Net is
a miss.
Is a miss for
Malibu
me.
Seafood is a yes.
Yeah.
Okay. These are hot tips.
Mm-hmm.
This is a multifaceted haul. Not only are we taking a trip down memory lane, but we're also telling you where is worthy of your hard-earned coin.
Yeah, we're going also all over this city.
All over. Okay, so Shape House.
You know how I feel.
I know how you feel, but it's important to mention because I feel like it's been featured multiple times on Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. So Shape House is these infrared sweat bags that have been mentioned on this show multiple times also. And you basically get in this bag. You get like burritoed up and then you can like watch Netflix while you sweat in your own pool. And it's really good for these types of wellness scenes while moving the story along because you can still talk and they can light the space
and
properly.
They can film you.
Exactly. Whereas if you're doing like a more classic infrared like walk-in sauna, you can't have the equipment around mm-hmm. that. So I appreciate it for what it offers. I used to go a lot pre-COVID, and then I got my own bag at home.
I know people who swear by the sweat bags, but as a night sweater who at any given night could essentially wake up in my own sweat bag, it is not a relaxing thing for me. I find it to be fairly disgusting to like sweat, and I don't like that, like to lay and just be encased. I need to be free. I need to be able to sit or like lay or like have my arms moving around. Like I need more freedom.
Yeah, I've found that. Okay, well, first of all, I have one at home, so I don't go to Shape House, but I just like the walk-in infrared sauna experience because I like going with a friend and talking through the discomfort of the heat. If you're kind of like deep in convo, you don't realize that you're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Shape House for the history that I've personally had with it. It was real fun moments in my life. So I'm going to give it, and I liked seeing it on TV. That was fun too.
I like seeing it on TV for sure.
So I'm going to give it an A minus.
I love that. And I respect that. And I'm not hating on people who love it because some people love it. But for me, it is an absolute no. And I have no choice but to give it a D plus. And the only reason I don't give it an F is because it has served some reality TV shows very well. but I can't do human soup sweat bad.
Yeah, I respect that deeply. Okay, next up we have Toca Madera, which I have never been to, but I just know it exists purely from VPR.
I've been to Toca Madera and have lived to tell the tale. I don't know if it still exists.
It's on 3rd Street.
It's on 3rd Street. It was always right down the street from the bar method class I used to go to a lot. So I had a lot of like street sightings of Toca Madera. And then when it came into the VPR universe, it caused quite the stir because Sheena said Toca Madera probably like
9 million times.
Yeah.
Because Rob kissed the hostess at Toca Madera.
He lifted her up and kissed her, swung her around. And I think I ended up going to Toca Madera
and
because
Rob
Sheena
doesn't
said
kiss
it
people.
So much. Yeah. So it's another kind of fine place. The food isn't anything. It's almost like a Sur in the way where it leans really hard into like kind of gothic, moody Dia de los Muertos vibe. That it's like the vibes are stronger than the food. Mm. And I don't appreciate that.
Which there's a theme.
Yeah.
Isn't Toca Madera also where Lala had her first music showcase?
Yes.
That Stassi planned.
And Stassi, the event planner extraordinaire.
I loved that storyline.
Yeah. Toca Madera, I'm going to give it a C minus for just being there.
I'm going to give it a B minus for name recognition
mm-hmm.
because I love free advertising.
Yeah.
And I like what they did there with that.
They manifested like
yeah,
something.
It's major. There has to be. I got to look at who's on the board of Toca Madera and yeah. how does it overlap in the Venn diagram of the pump universe? Because there's something. There's no accidents.
Or are there? Okay, what's next?
We mentioned Kristen's messiness. And I think that was perfectly on display at the Lansby in Solvang.
Oh, yes.
Which is about, if you recall, they took a PJ and nobody paid for it on to Santa Ynez, which is an hour drive from LA, an hour and 20 minutes. So truly a 10-minute plane ride. And there is the cutest little town that the surrounding towns are all these amazing vineyards. And I actually went there last year on my birthday, planned the whole trip. And all I remember from the show is when Brittany's like, Jack said, of course you're going to go to a place called Solvang. And I said, it's Solvang.
It's Solvang.
Anyway, this is the cutest trip you can go on. And I stayed at the Lansby. And I give that an A plus.
Oh, I love that.
It's a very fun, easy trip. I've got a whole itinerary if anyone wants. And I learned about it through VPR. But then my favorite vineyard is there, Love You Bunches, which we mentioned in our Celebrity
Delicious
Wine Hall episode,
wine.
The best wine.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Santa Ynez because I wanted to go to their tasting room. That was like the whole ethos of the trip. And then somebody recommended the Lansby to stay, and I was like, sure enough, it's where the girlies went.
Okay, I'm glad to know that there is like,
and it's really cute,
a chic cute place.
Yeah.
I want to check it out now.
It's a must.
This is also the when every girlie was on the up and up, and my life was like getting, I was angry. Okay. I didn't want them to win.
Right.
I need them to be in a constant state of suffering in order for my viewing experience to be great. So like during this time, I was just like, I hate that life is so good for them right now.
What's so funny about Vanderpump Rules as a whole, I mean, there's so much, obviously, as you so expertly assess every single week, obsessed
Thank
with
you.
The recaps. But how it's like Vanderpump Rules is a show about a bunch of people that used to all work in a restaurant who now all have podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they all started off in shitty apartments and then they bought nice houses and now they're back in shitty apartments.
But it's also, yeah, it's been a real roller coaster, but it's back in the place that it needs to be. And I also think that this humbling moment is good because even watching this season, season 10, I'm realizing that as things stand now, I'm really open to actually seeing every woman on the show thrive or enter like a true thrive period. I think that before it just felt really fake to me because it's like, I know that Tom and Katie's relationship is bad. I'm not into being gaslit that it's like a healthy, thriving relationship where they're gonna like buy a house and like ride off into the sunset. I'm also like, Lala's relationship with Randall, I knew had to be like dark sided and to some degree, and to see it just being like, we have the PJ, like everyone get on. And also all the girls that were so mean to her suddenly like sucking her dick for like 10 minute PJ rides. I was like, I don't abide by that. And I'm mad that we're normalizing this. And then now, thank God, all of that has been stripped away. We can start back at ground zero and build.
There's a lot of optimism.
Yeah.
No, Sheena is MVP. That's another one who I am truly loving in my rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas she used to bug. Now I think she's just
Sheena's incredible.
A star.
She's incredible.
And I think she's doing some great. She's just doing the work.
Sheena gets off her ass and is working every single episode. You never see Sheena phoning it in.
And she's really friendly to fans.
Yeah, she's a friendly, lovely person.
A plus
on Shishu. Wait, what? Okay, can we haul the Moment Hotel?
Oh, yes, of course.
The Moment Hotel has haunted me ever since I saw it on Vanderpump Rules. And
what? Jog my memory. Where did we see it?
Jax, I think, meets up with, remember that girl that he hooked up with that was from San Diego? And he's like
the one in hospitality.
The one in hospitality. And they're always meeting on like the roof of the Moment Hotel, which is like, this hotel is not a moment. It is a motel that was
exterior wise, just to paint the picture, it's like geometric.
It's an M shape, like facade.
And it's orange.
And it's orange and silver and black. Like
across from the Guitar Center on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. And next to very close proximity to El Compadre in West Hollywood, which is a fave spot of mine.
Ugh, I lost a Pucci scarf that was tied to a bag out there in 2009.
R.I.P.
Right in front of that restaurant. I guess
that's
the hotel
really
too.
Hard.
I think about it too much, too often.
That's really
I bought
hard.
It in Italy. It was a sous vide.
That's a major loss.
Just take a moment.
I blame the Moment Hotel, honestly, because its vibes are so cursed. I cannot imagine one single person being like, this is the place where I want to spend even a second of my time. Even me looking at it, I'm like, it takes years off my life. It's a cursed location. Like, that is a portal to hell. I'm certain.
Yeah.
And I there's not even a letter in any language in the history of the universe that you can rate the Moment Hotel, because that letter would just be like a demonic force energy from below.
I feel like Ghost Adventures, if anyone's familiar with that that show, they're like doing like an overnight at the Moment to like talk to the spirits.
Yeah, there's
it's
something
spooky over there.
There's something like so cursed about it. And I can't put my finger on it, but I've always known deep down in my soul, it's like, stay the fuck away from this place.
F.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's next? Just have to get that off my chest.
Oh, no, I'm really happy that you did. What else do we have here? Oh, let's end with this one. Vanderpump Dogs.
Vanderpump Dogs.
On 3rd Street, that used to be a Sateen, which was an amazing clothing store.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've been to that clothing, like went to that clothing store for a book party for the writer of The Devil Wears Prada, who wrote like a follow-up to that book. And
that
I went to the book party there. It was
gorgeous.
So good.
And then it's
And now
dog kitsch.
It reeks of piss from the second you walk into the door. I've never smelled such a pissy place. And all the stuff is like trash island dog fashions and toys. I've only been in there once and I was like, I shan't be coming back. No wonder Lucy Goosey Apple Juicy bit the shit out of Dorit's kids. She's dealing with trauma from having to live a life of Vanderpump dog.
And Raquel cleaning it up.
Yeah. Vanderpump dogs for me, it's a D minus.
I'm just curious about like the rent that they're paying and what's happening in there.
That's a
huge, huge square footage in a prime, highly foot trafficked area of West Hollywood. Stone's throw from the Grove. You've got Jones on Third, just a hop and skip jump.
I will say though, the more we're talking about Vanderpump dogs, I want to go back and see what dogs
are. It is kind of fun to see the puppies.
It is cute.
I did have a friend who was a consistent volunteer there for a while. And he ended up hanging out with
John Blizzard.
Sessa.
John Sessa.
A lot.
I'm sad that the Vanderpump Dogs show never got off the ground because I felt like that could really bring energy that we need as viewers.
I saw the deck for that show.
Oh, shit.
The pitch deck.
Ugh, you're going to have to send that to me.
I know.
Vanderpump Dogs. Yeah, I'm going to go back there.
Yeah.
Maybe this week.
Just, we got to, like, that's going to be, I guess, like, that grade is going to be a question mark. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
But I think that it's worth a walk by if you're in town.
Definitely go check it out.
Yeah.
Why not?
But just nose beware.
So basically, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Again, there are so many places to haul.
10 seasons of location scouting and release forms needing to be signed to be able to film in a plethora of locations all around this land.
Yeah, but we might circle back.
We might.
I'm sure there's more Vanderpump Rules content to come. Let us know what we missed. And honestly, ask us what our ratings are. I'm sure we're happy to respond. I'm happy to respond and give F's across the board to anywhere that's been featured on Vanderpump Rules. And
sight unseen, think of, really.
Sight unseen, unexperienced, but even if you have been to a place that also has been featured on Vanderpump Rules that was an A+ that we totally missed and didn't cover, let me know because I don't want a repeat of my Bianca journey like I discussed at the top of the episode.
That's right. I think seeing this city through the lens of Vanderpump makes me feel not that great, but also... But also excited for what's next. What else can we see this city through the lens of? TBD.
Exactly.
Before we go, we are doing the first ever giveaway with Too Niche. You guys might have heard about it in our Soft Life Essentials episode from a few weeks ago. We talked about one of my cozy baby mode musts, Sleep Crown. Since then, my collab with the brand came out. It is no longer available.
Sold out immediately.
It sold out, which is so exciting. Lara was lucky enough to get her hands on a Sleep Crown traveler pillow. What can you tell us at home?
Let me just say that I was a tiny bit skeptical at first. I'm not an eye mask person, so I don't think understand that you do put it over your face until I slept with it a few nights. For some reason, I was just putting it on top of my head and wearing it like a crown. And then I was which is also, that felt cozy. I like even Instagrammed a picture. I was like, this is interesting that this is the vibe, but I'm down. Then I discovered, oh, you put it over your face. And after like a couple times of sleeping with it, I'm now addicted to it. It's like I'm radicalized and it has changed the game for me.
I love to hear that. That is thrilling to me. And I'll say I do it over my eyes for a relaxation moment, mm-hmm. but I'm a side sleeper. So I sort of hug it kind of like a pillow slash stuffed animal experience. So it's like part under my head, part my hands are wrapped around it.
Okay, so you're stuffed animaling.
Really, I'm stuffed animaling pretty hard okay. with it. And it works great for that too. My mom puts it just behind her head as just like a soft cushion pillow situation. That's really a choose your own adventure. So we are giving away a Sleep Crown Elizabeth Traveler. There are none left in the world available except for one for a lucky two niche listener. So here's what you got to do to enter. Write us a review over on Apple Podcasts, screenshot that review, post it to your stories, and tag at This Is Too Niche.
And then you're entered to get a luxury sold out item that will improve your life. Like I now will relax for any nap. I put it over my eyes, but then I figured out a side sleeper hack to get it over. I put it over my head and tuck it a little bit underneath my chin. And now you go into coma mode with this thing. And I'm really obsessed. Like I can go full coma mode and it feels like I'm ultimate relaxation.
So happy to help facilitate coma mode for anybody. So yeah. If you're interested in getting a Sleep Crown for yourself, enter our little giveaway. And really, we're looking for positive reviews.
Yeah, positive vibes only. And if you don't have a good review to share, just shut the fuck up and don't even come at us because you won't get a Sleep Crown. And if you have a good review to share and you can make it funny and we giggle, you're gonna be high up in the running.
That's
first.
A plus.
You're gonna be an A plus Sleep Crown contestant.
Not only will you win a Sleep Crown Traveler Elizabeth Cott edition, but we'll announce your name on the show next week. So
I love it.
Big stuff.
You have a week. Yum.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for touring the City of Angels with us. Love and light.
And stay tuned for our next haul.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shanehalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.